Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
What a night. Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ, and we've got a boatload to talk about this morning as the Houston Rockets will select third in this year's NBA draft. Could have been worse. Could have been Detroit. Detroit got screwed, got put in a five hole. Detroit had the worst record, had the same chance as the Rockets. Well, they didn't have the worst record, but one of the three worst records. They had the same chance as the Rockets, and they ended up in their worst in the worst possible position, fifth overall.
Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, well, of course you're fine with Detroit.
No, I just wanted to – no, I'm for the Rockets. I just wanted to be in the three.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's the big three. I just wanted to be in the three. I tell you what was really fascinating watching Steve Schmidt, and who we're working to get on the show. He's the he's their Daniel Jeremiah, so to speak, for ESPN. I know Zach Lowe gets a lot of that love, but you can tell they're really promoting Steve Schmidt because he's the guy I think that – that really evaluates more.
I was reading John Hollinger this morning in The Athletic. We should try
Hollinger's
to get him to.
Hollinger's a numbers guy. He's an analytics guy. Schmidt does the stuff like I do. Evaluates footwork, this, that, and the other. And he was the one doing the interviews of all of the big three, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, and Jabari Smith yesterday. And I watched the draft lottery. I was excited. I was nervous, man, watching those envelopes come down, making sure I didn't see the Rockets logo. And once you got inside the final four, you know, my family was all excited. Like Mason, who's my biggest basketball fan, he and Snacks were really excited. Like, oh, thank God. And then when you saw fourth, who was it? Detroit? Yeah. No, I mean.
No, Sacramento.
Sacramento. Fourth, like, oh, thank God. You're in the you're in the top three. It's really what you want to be in the top three. And then, of course, Rockets were third. But what was interesting to me is how much they were talking about that Chet Holmgren has a real possibility of being the first pick. That Chet Holmgren is the guy who is the best prospect in this draft. And, you know, one of the things that was pointed out was he is the first player in almost three decades to shoot 40% from three and have 100 blocks. It's something that just doesn't happen. His ability to play stretch four, to range, to block shots, to handle the ball, to do a lot of things is very exciting for a lot of people. I get the feeling though, look, just my eye, my football eye, and looking for explosive athletes, the guy that really pops is Banchero. Like, Banchero pops as the big explosive athlete. He's broad-shouldered, he's thick-boned. He's an explosive player off the – that's just the athlete. I'm not talking about the basketball player. The basketball player, the guy that I think is the best in the limited sample size of watching him is Jabari Smith. Holmgren's going to be polarizing because he's talented but has a freaky body type. Like, I took a picture yesterday. They had David Robinson come out. David's still in good shape. He's bigger than he used to be, but David was always – not a lot. I mean, David Robinson is just – a tremendous physical specimen. He was standing next to, I'm going to show you a picture. I can already tell you didn't see this.
No.
It's David Robinson standing next to what looks like my son, Alec, if my son were 7 feet tall or 7'2".
He does look like Alec.
With a 7'6 wingspan.
Yep.
That's what they look like next to each other.
Wow. Just as tall, if not taller.
Oh, yeah. No, he's really tall. Holmgren's probably closer to 7'2". David Robinson is actually probably like 6'11". Holmgren's probably a good 7'1".
Wow.
But look how lean through the chest he is.
Well,
upper body, like, it's literally, it looks, he said it was the first time he ever wore a coat, ever wore a suit ever was yesterday. Chet Holmgren. Anybody that falls to the Rockets at three is going to be a good player, so I'm happy with that. But I really have been very interested since the tournament in Banquero, because I think physically he has the ability to be special. He and Jabari Smith. If I had one of the three guys, I don't think I'd touch it. Would be not touch. It's just Holmgren. Holmgren's very talented too. I don't know. I think the Rockets are in great.
Well, I think they're in great shape too. They don't now. The thing is that let the other two make their picks, and then the third one falls to you. If in fact it does fall to you, because what Rafael Stone said multiple times last night was not sure that we're going to take this pick.
We're definitely open to it. That's kind of an important part of my personal philosophy, is that you always want to be open to those things, because you never know what's going to be available, and you never want to foreclose those types of opportunities. I do think that there's going to be an exceptionally talented player. When I said cornerstone, I wasn't necessarily talking about this draft per se. I was just talking more about when you're picking high in the draft, and the fit versus, I guess, potential, or fit versus talent argument. But I do think there's really talented players in this draft. There are super talented players in every draft, and it's just going to be up to us to try and weed through, and if we do pick the, end up using the pick, to find the very best guy we can get.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. What he's doing right there is, where's that from? Hey. Where did he say that? Was that on the broadcast? Because I didn't see him.
No, it was an interview. They did it with the media. That's all. He did it. Okay.
So one of the things you're doing is you're getting it out there. That's a message to everyone else that your pick could be for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you want to trade. Just means that you want to see what happens. I'm gonna throw a little.
Be dumb not to take calls to see what he could get.
Oh, absolutely. I'm gonna throw a scenario.
And here's the deal too: is Jabari Smith, is Paolo Banchero, is this something that you want to wait for, or is
right.
it, do you want a player that
Let
you
me
know
throw,
can play
I'm
now?
I'm going to throw a name out there, because I was thinking about this yesterday, and now that Rafael Stone says this, we'll bring it all together.
James Harden.
No. Although I've heard Rafael likes James, but I think everyone likes the James that was really good. He's much less likable now.
Yeah, no.
But DeAndre Ayton.
No.
DeAndre Ayton knows how to play. DeAndre Ayton is a true big. DeAndre Ayton is not happy in that system where he's got a dominant backcourt.
Well, he won't be happy here either.
You wouldn't consider DeAndre Ayton?
No.
For the third pick?
Uh-uh. I mean, I think this team is going to be a lot similar to that. I think Jalen and KPJ are going to dominate
the
ball. And I think that he will be unhappy here as well. I think that Jabari, I want more of a wing guy than DeAndre Ayton.
I don't think Ayton makes sense from the standpoint of, you're right. The problem is he just doesn't fit with Şengün.
Yeah.
I mean, Şengün can step out, but Şengün's not a true stretch four. Like, I don't know if that's truly what Şengün's role is, but it back in the day when it was a true five, a four and all that, I would have, okay, boy, those are two good bigs to have. You got Şengün, who's the more skilled guy, and an Ayton who's more explosive, can rebound, block shots. He does offer something that Şengün doesn't offer, which is the premium rebound potential and shot blocking. He's a more explosive vertical athlete. So you have opportunities that Şengün won't give you. But I'm just throwing that name out there because he's a guy that could be out on the block next year. It will be interesting to see what the Rockets take a look at. Do you want all of your, do you want a core player that you have to wait for? Banchero's got 1 year. I mean, all these guys have a year. So it's going to take them a while. You'll still be a very young team. If you have a chance to trade a number three pick for an established star-level player, which is possible. It's not impossible because these are three talented players.
What about a Maxey, Tyrese Maxey?
I'm trying to figure out what the
you got
what
a
the
guaranteed
play
NBA player.
Yeah, you do, but does he fit? Everything has to be, does he fit with Jalen?
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous proposition, because everything you're doing
so does this pick. I mean, everybody does.
Well, I know. And everything, if you look at it through that lens, instead of saying, does this guy fit our team? If you ask the question, does he fit with Jalen? Now you're putting yourself in the same James Harden hole that you were once in as well.
But
where everything revolves around a guy.
But you are hitching your wagon to Jalen, no question.
Well, I mean, but you're hitching your wagon to Jalen and Şengün also. And I think one of the things that Rafael Stone said that you have to remember, and I had a conversation with him last year before the draft, so I'm seeing things a little more clearly, is they always love Şengün. I didn't know that before the draft, but I did know that they felt like there was depth in the draft. He told me that. And they, in an after that got drafted, when I talked to him, he said they had talked about moving up. They were patient, but they had planned on moving up for Şengün. Like, that's how much they liked him. They thought he was one of the three or four best players in the entire draft. So it wouldn't shock me if the Rockets brass looks at this draft and there's a guy they're circling who they say, man, we think this guy is really a good player. I don't know who it would be, but they may be circling somebody and saying, you know, we'd be okay yeah. with moving back if we could get our hands on a player and this guy.
Well, it depends who. Okay, rank the guys how they will be drafted.
Well, that's what's hard because it was so wild. So nobody, Steve Schmidt at one point goes, you know, the top two players, the two players fighting for the number one spot are Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren. And he's going on, he's talking, he goes, and we got all three of the prospects right here. And I was like, well, this has got to be weird for a Banchero. And he talked to all three of the guys. And
I don't know that Banchero isn't going to move himself into that top spot.
So that's what I wonder, because when NBA people start, you know, it's one thing for analysts and all that, but when NBA people have guys who are big, fast, explosive, long, have certain physical dimensions, I just think it's going to be fascinating, because just yesterday watching ESPN's coverage, they were all over the place. Perkins thinks that the best player is Chet Holmgren. Jay Billis, you know, loves Jabari Smith, and I think he likes Banchero too. Steve Schmidt, I think, has Chet Holmgren number one, and
John Hollinger had him fifth.
Who's that, Holmgren?
Holmgren.
It's going to be really, really fascinating to see how this plays out. Are you watch college guys? I know we've asked you, RJ. You're not really like, you're kind of like us. Like, I pay attention to NBA, and then when college comes around, I used to live for college basketball, but
not so much, RJ.
I really think that so you got an athletic, long, weird body type guy who's highly skilled. You got Jabari Smith, and is more of a jump shooter and a mid range guy, and then Banchero is the explosive athlete who has the upside.
Like, would you be disappointed in any of them falling?
Nope. That's why I was so happy.
Yeah.
As soon as the Rockets, I knew they were inside the top three.
And like,
you're going to get better.
Last year, too, Evan Mobley, turns out he's the best.
So Perkins said, that's one of the things Kendrick Perkins, he doesn't say a lot of things that I think are great and smart. But yesterday he said, he thinks the Rockets should go the same way with Mobley. He compared Chet Holmgren to Mobley. He said that's the method they should go, is go with their next Mobley to pair with Jalen Green. And I thought, you know, that's not the worst idea. I'm fine with Mobley. I mean, I'm fine with Chet Holmgren. I'm fine with Jabari Smith. I'm fine with Banchero. I posted a little GIF yesterday and just said, after I saw their draft in third, I just said, welcome to Houston, Paolo, because I think he'll be the third pick. But
I don't know.
Man, he's, like I said, big, fast, explosive. It wouldn't shock me if someone looks at him and says, no, this is the guy.
All right. When we come back, we haven't even mentioned the Astros just did something for the eighth time Major League Baseball history. The eighth time it's ever happened. And we'll talk about it on the other side.
Was it another shutout? Did they get another shutout?
No, this wasn't quite
the
shutout. Was
it 5-0 again?
Not with the 14 hits that
Urquidy's start was weird.
All right, let's talk right now about Chastang Ford. You know what's weird is how low their prices are. You know, you can still order the Ford Edge, the Escape, and the Explorer. Everything else, the order banks are closed right now in 2022s. Order Chastang Ford and receive $1,000 off towards your new special order. Build and price your own way. No dealer add-ons, no markups on orders. It's the way Chastang does business. And oh, by the way, they've got the pre-owned vehicles. How about the gold certified cars? Those are Fords that are in perfect condition, and they're on the lot right now. The Ford F-350 SD, XL, STX. Listen, it's rare to have a 350 in stock. They've got one right now. The 2018 Chevrolet Silverado 15 LT1. It's got a beautiful Carfax. And the 2021 Ford F-150 XL, low miles, clean Carfax, one owner. Listen, if you're looking for the best way to get into that new car, you can order. Or get into the pre-owned vehicles that are gold certified, and that means you get unbelievable discounts in your interest rates as well. So you're looking for that. Get it with the people that are going to do you the best by you, and that's Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go see my friends at Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, how about them Astros? Five bombs in the second inning. Put up a ninth spot. Grand slam by Michael Brantley. A two-run and a grand slam for Kyle Tucker. Oh, no, Michael Brantley's was a three-run homer.
Yeah,
Tucker had the grand slam.
Tucker got the six.
Yeah, Michael Brantley came up with the – I mean, it was boom. It was bam, bam. How about Jeremy Pena came back, and in the first at-bat, boom, home run. Unbelievable, unbelievable second inning. How awesome. I mean, I felt bad for Eovaldi, who is a Houston guy.
I didn't feel bad for him.
You didn't feel bad for him
at
all?
He's in the Houston area.
Yeah.
He's not from Harris County, I don't think.
No, he's from – isn't he downtown?
Alvin.
Yeah, but
isn't he from Alvin? That's not Houston.
Yeah, that's you're not claiming Nolan Ryan? No, you claim Nolan
he
Ryan
when Houston.
Yeah,
no, Alvin. Being from Rich and Rosenberg, you know that when you're one of the outlying towns,
you're still from the Houston area.
No, you get to claim your people for yourself. Houston doesn't claim. Alvin gets sole possession of Nolan Ryan. No one's ever said Houston's Nolan Ryan. He's Alvin. That's the Alvin Express.
Well, they say the Katy Rocket for some reason. I don't get it.
There's got to be something where he lived in Katy.
He's the Springwood Sprinter. That's what he is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I just know this much. I was glad they ruined him. I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I feel good for the Astros.
Man, oh, man.
Bing, pow, poo. What are you doing here? I thought I told you to go, mother.
Whoa.
Bang, boom, bing, pow, poo, pow, bing. Wow. And they just let him stay in there and just keep eating home runs. What are you going to do? You got to, if like, well, we're not going to burn up our bullpen for this now. It's too late now. It was over so fast that they just decided, well, we couldn't even get to the bullpen fast enough. Guess it's over. Keep taking these home runs. Bing, pow, boom. And the story is the story that's developing right now is this is pretty staggering what's happening. I know it's a small sample size, blah, blah, blah. But this K-Mac sent this to me. This is Astros Nation. A guy named David Pace put this together.
Okay.
Listen to this, John. The stats of top free agent shortstops the Astros could have signed so far this season. Trevor Story, 200 batting average, 595 OPS, minus .2 war. Marcus Semien, 162 batting average, 439 OPS, minus .2 war. In other words, you're better off with somebody else.
Yeah. No. Minus
Chris Taylor, 264, 798 OPS. That's pretty good.
Chris Taylor, the center fielder for the Dodgers?
.4. Well, yeah, but he...
He didn't play much center.
.4. Well, just... This is as good as it gets, by the way, is Chris Taylor. Carlos Correa, 255, 693 OPS, .5 war. Javier Baez, 210 batting average, 576 OPS, .6 war. Corey Seager, 234, 708 OPS, 1.1 war. And then you have Jeremy Pena, 282, 877 OPS, 2.2 war. Like, Jeremy Pena is so far ahead of any of those guys right now from a power standpoint.
For $700,000, too, by the way. For $700,000.
Jim Crane is right now doing, you know,
that move, the
Generation X, the X-Pac thing where he tells you to suck it. That's what Jim Crane right now somewhere is on a golf course or somewhere really expensive. He just got out of a jet like Logan Roy and just went and he's just smashing his groin with his he's not smashing his groin with his hands. That doesn't sound right. But he's doing that chop move where he's telling you suck it like that. Like, oh, y'all wanted Carlos for $33 million? Y'all want $33 million, Carlos? How about I find somebody better than Carlos for $700K? Does that interest you? Because it's my money.
Yeah.
Now.
No, I agreed wholeheartedly with the move. No, you got to bring the kid up. Let's see what he can do. He was awesome in the Dominican Republic.
He wants to take all those pay me jerseys, the shirts, the one you're wearing too. He wants you to bring it to the town square, and he wants to, over there on Discovery
Green.
You
want to burn them?
He wants to burn all the
We're not burning t-shirts now.
He wants to burn.
This isn't, okay, this isn't Germany in the 1930s.
Burn
We're not
the
burning
shirts.
T-shirts.
Burn
say
the shirts. The time has come to burn those shirts.
No,
this, pay that man.
This
pay
is not LeBron
Pena.
Moving from the
pay
Cavs.
Pay that man Pena, 700,000.
From the Cavs to the Miami Heat. We're not doing that. We're not doing
We're
that.
We're burning the jerseys. We're burning the, not the Carlos Correa jerseys, just to pay that man. Can you imagine if they paid that man and he was hurt? Of course, he got hit on the hand. I mean, it's not his fault. It's not like Correa's.
No, that's not his fault.
But that's damn good.
So we found out that there is a 10-day DL for Odorizzi, and they're still saying lower leg discomfort. What? Cart it out, and it's lower leg discomfort. But the good news is it's just 10 days.
That feels like that's a little bit of drama there.
Yeah, it's Paul Pierce.
I mean,
Pierce. It's Paul
honestly,
Pierce-ish.
Did he crap his pants? Because remember, that's what Paul Pierce did.
Yeah.
Remember that? We found out years later that Paul Pierce, when he was carried off the court and they had towels over him, he wasn't injured. He just ended up like crapping his pants. That's a real true story. I'm not. Maybe you've never heard it before. When Paul Pierce was carried off the court and then miraculously came back, he's like, uh-oh. He had to just too much boo-boo juice. And he just had to be carried off the floor, pretended to be injured, because he got carted off with the boo-boo.
I don't know. Do you think?
Yes, RJ?
Well, if you think it's nothing, like, I just don't know why they won't come out with the MRI. So there was a tweet that came out yesterday, and I meant to send it to you guys, but it was Dusty Baker basically saying, quote, "I was pleased with what I saw. I was surprised that it wasn't swollen or black and blue. I was very surprised. Hopefully that's a good sign." So why wouldn't you just say, or the doctors just say, you know, hey, it could have been like a cramp, or, you know, hey, Lance, He may have gone number two in his pants and just needed to be carted off to make it look believable. Send me to the bathroom. Give me to the bathroom.
I'm just telling
you. That's it.
I don't.
Well, it took a while, though. I mean, I could have hopped off. He could have hopped off and got to the John right away, unless he had some stuff run
carted
down.
Carted off that's what I'm never saying. Happens in baseball. That's where, I mean, that's a serious, serious injury if you're carted off in baseball. That's what made it so weird. And then to hear he had lower leg discomfort, like, he got a cart. What do you mean discomfort? That's like me trying to get through an airport security faster, and I'm just wearing my boot just to fake people out. Luckily, I mean, hopefully nothing. Hopefully it is nothing.
Yeah, no.
Hopefully it is nothing. That was just a weird. That's a weird exit from a field for some discomfort.
Well, and we're still in the midst of this 33 and 34 days.
I'm way tougher. I went all the way to my car after spraining my ankle.
Now stop. And here's the deal is we're still in the middle of this thing. So losing him right now hurts, and especially hurts the way that we just saw Javier pitch, the way that we just saw Urquidy pitch. Although Seth Martinez did come in and look pretty good. He had a couple of walks, but otherwise, I mean, he actually looked better than Urquidy. Just gave up a hit in his three innings. He threw three innings. And actually,
like
Dusty mentioned him after Odorizzi went down. He said, this is an opportunity for Seth Martinez. And the kid looks pretty good.
Seth Martinez, big toe guy getting in there. And
well,
all
right.
of a sudden, you've got...
So is Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah.
Dubon.
No. Well, you'll learn yeah. him now more now. But it's rare to see a game like... You won't see that. You won't even see that most years where you have a game like Urquidy had where he threw a bunch of strikes. I mean, he threw 90 pitches, like 76 strikes or 73 strikes. He actually threw strikes.
Well, yeah, but they hit him.
No, I know.
They hit the snot
Five innings,
out of him.
12 hits. He had one strikeout. His stuff wasn't good. He still got the wind. I mean, you know rare that's going to be.
Well, he got out of innings. That's why.
He did. Well, he gave up four runs in five innings. So it's not like he had a bad outing and got a win.
I'll tell you who is a beast. It's J.D. Martinez. First at bat on a 17-game hit streak. Bam. Base hit. Then bam. Then bam. Dude is. He is. It's a good thing the Astros got rid of him.
You know, we talk about Michael Brantley, professional hitter. I mean, J.D. Martinez is another professional hitter.
Well, and the Astros didn't see, that's the problem. Well, he wasn't that guy, but he came back in spring training that year after he worked with some guru out in Oregon or somewhere. He was working out there, and he came back, and he was like, guys, I can hit. And he was hitting in the spring, and they said, ah, that's okay. You can hit in the spring, but we'll see. And now look at him. He's been an all-star. He's been a great player ever since he's left here, and that's so unfortunate. You could see certainly see him in the middle of this line playing left field all these years for the Astros. Huh. How sweet would that have been? 727 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Jimmy Butler said, oh, yeah? You guys ranked me fourth? How's this taste? And he did that last night. As a matter of fact, and Jeff Van Gundy actually brought something up that I want to go into, and we'll do that on the other side. But right now, you and I got to talk about this. How about we woke up the other morning, Sunday morning, and we had water all over the floor in the kitchen. And we had a leak in our sink.
Nightmare.
Call Aqueduct Plumbing. I turned the water off so it stopped. And called Aqueduct Plumbing and they said, well, do you need somebody right away? I said, no, I turned it off. Can they get here? They were there Monday morning, fixed it like nothing. They were just fantastic. People, if you have any plumbing issues whatsoever, Aqueduct Plumbing is the best. It is not even arguable. So conscientious. They will come and give you a free estimate while other plumbers are just going to charge you just to come to your house. The workmanship is tremendous. Everything about it. They're the best.
You know, they're also, if you are having work done, if you want to get some remodeling done, they'll handle your plumbing. If you are looking to move gas lines, plumbers handle that. They'll handle that for you as well. From the small leaks to the big issues and big problems, they handle all of it. And it's really easy to get to. Just go to thebenchplumbing.com, and you can get to all the numbers you need, all the services that they offer. But the best thing is, when you need help, they get there quickly, and they're efficient, and they get the work done at a very fair price. Thebenchplumbing.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 7:30 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jimmy Butler said, take this. Now, it certainly hurt that there was no Marcus Smart or Horford. I mean, That was pretty big. I mean, those are two real defensive presence that you lost. That's huge, not having those guys. Horford apparently has COVID-like symptoms or whatever, or he tested positive. He was out because of the protocol. And Marcus Smart had some kind of an injury that he picked up late in the Game 7. So they weren't able to go. They come back, but I will tell you this. Jimmy Butler said, oh, y'all are talking. Yeah, you just keep talking about those other three guys. Oh, what? And he puts up 41.
I mean, Jimmy Butler was a monster in the third quarter. He had a huge third quarter, then followed it up with another big fourth. And, you know,
the defense was just unbelievable.
Yeah, they cut it in the fourth to 10, the Celtics, and then, you know, they just.
But Butler had 17, and they opened it up so big in the third.
Well, Grant Williams was just nothing but a frustrated player yesterday. He was the irritant for Milwaukee in Game 7. Yesterday, he was irritated. He played some dumb basketball, and he was just out over his skis. He just didn't. He wasn't able to get it done, and looked like he was not. And Jam Brown too. Brown and Williams both of them had, you know, just disappointing games. Tatum was fine. I thought.
Well,
Jason Tatum was fine. He didn't shoot it great from three. But he was fine.
Well,
but
Jimmy Butler was in his face.
This is just going to be the best player on the team wins, and that's it. And if Tatum is but here's the thing. Tatum has a chance to be the best player on the court. Whoever the best player is on the court that night, their team will win. I just think it's just too, because Tatum's going to get all of the shots he needs. Jimmy's going to get all the shots he needs. Luka's going to get shots he needs. Now, that's the problem with Golden State, is they can beat you with a variety of players. So that's why they're going to be hard to beat. But, man. Jimmy Butler is just, it's kind of weird. Jimmy must be a big pain in the ass. Everything says that he's been a pain in the ass, but he didn't like how soft Karl-Anthony Towns was and really Minnesota was. He was out of there. That was one of the things that came out, is he thought they were a very soft team. Philadelphia, he was upset that they didn't choose him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how's that look now?
Chicago Bulls, like, it is a little weird that a guy this talented is on his fourth team or fifth. I think it's just fourth. It's a little strange. This guy's ridiculously talented, and he's a dog.
Well,
he's a physically tough defender.
He's too big a dog, I think, for that.
I think he's hard for teams to deal with, yeah. Obviously.
Well, not teams, but he. Remember when he was pissed off at Minnesota and he took, I'll take the whole second team, and he beat their ass.
Yeah.
He beat all the starters.
I love the stories I hear about him. It's just, you know, you wonder, like, usually those are guys that the coaches love and the team loves, and for whatever reason, people don't seem to love him enough to keep him around.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing for a guy who's this talented.
We'll see how long he sticks around Miami. They love him right now.
Now, we didn't mention, you know, Al Horford, Marcus Smart didn't play.
I just mentioned. I said it.
Oh, you did say that?
I was saying that a lot, actually.
Al Horford was getting him back is going to be really big because, Smart's a great defender, too. So
yeah, both of them.
It was a weird thing on the bench. Where you had players, Marcus Smart now. The guys on the bench, did you see how they were dressed? I've never seen this before.
They had, like,
they were all
powder
in
blue.
Shorts. They were on T-shirts and short shorts. And it was the weirdest. I don't know if it's because they're in Miami, but they were dressed like, you know, when the Luau, with the Luau Classic or whatever it is, the beginning of the year in December when college basketball teams go to Hawaii, and the coaches would dress down and have to wear their lei, and it was always a weird vibe to see everything get dressed way down. We're in the playoffs, and you got three guys who literally look like they could be high school kids. They weren't getting in, and they're sitting on the bench.
That was the end of the bench at Siena, where they pick each other up and hold each other like babies and do all that crap.
No, but those are guys who are, like, you're not sitting on the bench when you're dressed like that. You're not even going in the arena when you're dressed like that. Yeah. That's not clothes you wear into a basketball arena ever, whether you're a player or a fan. It was literally a regular-ass white T-shirt and blue shorts for one guy.
No.
Short shorts.
I was like, who's this going up to?
There were three guys like that. Marcus Smart was one of them. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
All right, I got a question for you guys. Because Jeff Van Gundy.
Security. These guys off the court. Oh, they're Celtics?
Jeff Van Gundy said it yesterday. He said, you throw all the names in the hopper. RJ, you're in on this. Throw all the names in the hopper. Every single player in the NBA, who's drafted first?
Like right now?
And age counts.
Oh, yeah, Giannis. To me, it's a lock.
Oh, he said Luka.
Well, he said Luka would go top three.
He did say top three. You're right.
Yeah, so, I have to think about it. I don't even know if I'm putting Luka top three, and I think Luka's a fantastic talent.
Well, who would go?
Well, James. One.
Mike James?
James Harden, obviously.
Oh, James Harden.
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember how good he was back in like 18?
Yeah. No. Right 18? Now.
Remember before the fat suit?
I'm going to give you.
I'm going Giannis. Giannis is number one for me.
Giannis is number one.
Yeah. Giannis is number one. I think Giannis would
Who
be.
Who you got?
Patrick Beverley.
Oh, yeah. Well, Patrick Beverley thinks that, but go ahead.
I think. What does Patrick Beverley think?
Patrick Beverley thinks Patrick Beverley. No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Giannis, I think, would be a majority. I mean, here's the weird thing. You're back-to-back MVP. I do not think he would be picked by most people.
No, he would be in the top 10 or so.
Yeah, top 10.
Okay, next, who would you go next?
After Giannis, man, that is really hard. I might say, personally, Jason Tatum.
Tatum?
If we're counting age, I might say... Tatum.
Okay. I'm going to go Ja Morant. I'm going to go Ja Morant.
Oh, no. That's a great call. I go Ja Morant, too. I'm going to steal yours. I'm going to go Ja. Who do you got now?
Who you
I
got,
just stole
RJ?
Yours. No, you have to come up with somebody else.
There's no stealing.
I played my steal card.
No, you can't. This isn't like that NBA draft where Barkley chose Allen Iverson with the first pick.
He
chose Jordan.
Oh, okay. See, I thought we – you know what? You're right. Ja would be my number two. Even though I worry about how, because I think Ja's going to be the next Jordan. If I had to go 1, 2, 3, Ja, and then I would probably say.
Luka. Where's Luka? I'm going Luka.
Luke, I would have no problem with Luka. I got no problem putting Luka one. This is how good the league. The league is
okay.
In such
it's going to be Antetokounmpo. It's going to be. It's going to be Ja,
who's
Tatum and Luka next, or in whatever order.
Okay, there's four. There's four. I mean, you're not putting Jimmy Butler in there because he is getting older.
He's 32.
Yeah, I would say, man, that's a high level of basketball. 30, but 32 is not that old for a lot of guys anymore. I would say
who's gonna be next? I mean, I think you still gotta go. I don't know.
Man,
Kevin Durant.
Is so Kevin Durant's a major factor still.
Yeah,
he just plays with a goof in Kyrie Irving, who also, by the way, is a brilliant basketball player.
What about Jokic?
And Jokic is the back-to-back MVP.
Who
is
gonna be
who produces in every statistical category? How like is Jokic in a top five?
I think he's got to be right in there, 5, 6, 7 in that neighborhood. How about Brandon Ingram?
No, I'm not putting Ingram in top five.
But he's going to be.
I'm fine with shouting out Ingram.
He's going to be top 10, top 10,
you
top
think
12.
Top 10?
What about Devin Booker?
There's so many. I mean,
what about Embiid?
Saying. That's what I'm saying. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about Embiid. Yeah, Embiid is in your top five.
Well,
100%.
But I'm worried. You're not worried? I mean, you're going to. If you're going to take him
anything.
With the top five, you got to worry about the injuries.
When has he been injured last? Seriously.
Oh, he's been injured.
He got his orbital bone shattered and he missed two games or whatever. But he hasn't really been injured for several years now. Not like he was early in his career.
Is DeMar DeRozan around there? Is
yeah, I mean, DeRozan's worth the conversation.
What do you do with Steph? When do you take
15?
Steph?
This is how great basketball is right now. This is the most insane level of talent I've ever seen.
But the age has to factor in. The age
for
has
Steph?
To factor in.
I guess.
Steph
is it factoring
for Steph,
on the court?
For Durant, for Steph, it has
is
to
factor in.
Jimmy Butler, it factors in. Because right now, you would take... I mean, Jimmy Butler would
if
be a top five guy.
Okay, if you got one guy for the next 3 years, you're going to start your team over the next 3 years. Who you got? I'll let you go first, RJ.
Okay, so it's only three years.
I'm going,
different question now.
I'm going Giannis no matter what the answer. It's Giannis. Always Giannis is the answer.
All right, number two would have to be Durant.
For the next 3 years?
Starting my team now?
Yeah. So
nah,
it's
not
only
going next
no,
years.
It's only 3 years that we got to worry about.
Yeah, okay, 3 years. How old is Durant?
32 and coming off and he's got an Achilles injury in his background and he's Chet Holmes.
he's
33
right now.
He's Chet Durant.
You
worried about him getting bullied in the post? Because we're so worried about that with Chet Holmgren for some reason.
Well, but
and they're both just tall.
I know they both got stick arms, but that's the extent of comparing Chet Holmgren to Kevin Durant.
No, because defensively he has to deal with the same stuff. Kevin Durant's not strong.
No.
I never see Kevin Durant get pushed around in the block
Did Kevin Durant block as many shots as Chet Holmgren?
No, Chet blocks way more shots.
Yeah, right.
Still forgetting that like Kawhi Leonard's still in the league?
Yeah, but I can't count Kawhi
I can't count
because
on him.
He can quit on the league anytime he wants to. He's got an injury.
I can't count on him.
He's only played two of the last 4 years.
I mean, honestly,
that's why I struggle with. I can't.
It's like
I mean,
the Michael
when he plays,
Thomas. It's like the Michael
yeah, right.
Thomas of the NBA.
But next year, we'll be talking about Kawhi Leonard as a possible MVP candidate. Probably, and I don't. LeBron's not even been mentioned. Now, I get that age is a factor, but if I had the next 3 years, the three guys I would look at would be Giannis, Ja Morant. I mean, how do you not have Luka in there? How do you not have Embiid in there?
Luka. Embiid, if it's 3 years, I still want Steph. I mean, are you kidding me? How many titles does dude have to win?
There's no wrong answers, but
and Tatum. Tatum was a beast this
rebounds,
year.
Rebounds. Tatum can hit the columns all over the place and will defend. Like that's what I'm looking for. I want a two-way player too. That's where Ja gets hurt a little bit.
Dude, Tatum shot 37% from three.
Yeah.
Ingram shot 40.
Yeah, Ingram's a nice player. He has no pressure on him over there, but he's a nice player.
Yeah,
now, we're forgetting even Anthony Edwards.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to talk about the next 3 years.
I haven't forgotten about Anthony Edwards. Yeah. Love Anthony Edwards.
I mean, you're not putting him in this conversation, but...
No, no, but you're
next
putting him in...
Group, but,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Is he in the Devin
what
Booker
about
group?
What about Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, well, I mean, Spider Mitchell just gets forgotten about now.
What about Devin Booker, my man?
You can only choke so much in the playoffs... Like Donovan Mitchell, you can only lose so much in the playoffs and people keep putting you on that Dame Lillard. And we hadn't even mentioned Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard is a great, great player. There's right now you've got Mitchell and Lillard and there's a group right now that at any point Kawhi Leonard that can shoot up and be in a conversation for MVP.
And where's Kyrie in this talk?
I can't trust him. Okay, Kyrie can't be in this conversation.
Can't trust him.
Kyrie doesn't play.
742 ESPN 97.
If a guy doesn't really like the sport enough to really, like, I want guys who love basketball. I don't get the sense. I think he's really good at it. I think he likes basketball. I don't think he loves basketball. I wouldn't want that on my team as my first guy.
Oh, yeah, you forgot about Zion, too. Okay. Right? But okay, RJ.
How lucky has New Orleans been?
Basketball aficionado. What about Zion? You didn't even mention him.
I can't trust Zion right now. In my theory, conspiracy theory, I think that Zion's eating Twinkies, cookies, and cakes to get out of New Orleans.
I just hate that, man. What does that say about him as a person? What does that say about him? Like, if you can't bust your ass and then wait until free agency, all you got to do is turn down. Really, all you got to do is turn down offers left and right that they could try to make you. And like, nope, we're not doing it. There's no franchise tag where they're going to keep you in the NBA. If you just say, I'm going to become an unrestricted free agent, just bust your ass and play. If that's true that he does that, and I'm not saying it's not true, I think the eating thing is a real problem for him. Now, I think he could have made it back. And him doing those windmill dunks was such a bad look because it either said New Orleans is holding him out, and if his intention was to show that, hey, I'm ready to play, it's New Orleans who's doing it, then to me, I'm thinking, man, why does New Orleans not want you on the court? That's a bad look. If New Orleans if they're so done with you, they don't even want you on the court. But at the same time, I do worry about that. I worry that he's one of those guys that just wants to get, like, enabled.
He's been from a kid. He was LeBron. He was treated like LeBron. I mean, he's always been.
I don't want to be
a super
here.
Freak. He's always been. 744 ESPN 97.5 and 92.
Look at John Morant making the most of it in Memphis. And look.
Take the day off work. Play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com. Benefiting kids' meals. This year's tourney takes place June 14, 10:30 at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Right now, though, what about Craig DeSerf?
I love Craig DeSerf, and I talked to Craig this weekend. We caught up, and you know, Jeff, who handles a lot of the sales stuff for him, when you make a call over there, you may be talking to Jeff. Jeff's the guy that is the fixer. Jeff is the guy that handles, he's the wolf. He handles so many different things for Craig. Like, whenever every week he's driving to Sugar Land or driving into Houston, bringing paperwork, bringing a car in for people who don't have time to get out there, to flip their cars out and to get the new lease on the vehicle or the new purchase. Jeff will come out and they will meet you. I'm talking about someone in Angleton driving out to meet you. This is how important customer service is to them. They want to make sure that you're happy and that you're taken care of. They understand that here in Houston, you know, you have a lot of choices in Houston, but the reason you go out to Angleton is not just the price and not just the selection, but it's also the service. They will go the extra mile with Craig DeSerf out in Angleton at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, because they want your business, and they don't just want your business now. They want your second vehicle, your third, your family's vehicles, your friends, and everybody at the workplace. And the way that they do that is by treating you like a king and a queen, and that's what they do. Whatever you need, they will do it for you, and it couldn't be run by a better group of people. There's some great finance options available right now for you and some great offers going on that you can find at LanceZCars.com. But the people separates Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com to start the car buying experience. LanceZCars.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 748 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, the number. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here.
You know, you just going back on this a little bit, you may have a point on Embiid because his last, we know he didn't play his first 2 years in basketball. His third year, he played only 31 games. Then he played 63, 64, 51, 51. Well, of course, one of those was a bubble year, so that doesn't count in 20. And then 68 this year. I mean, he's never played 70. He's never played 69 games in a season. His minutes per game is the highest he ever hit was 33.7. It is a concern. It is. He also averaged 30 points a game this year with 11, almost 12 rebounds a game. Shot 37% from three-point line, 81% from the free throw line. He's an 81. I mean, he's a big who shoots well from the free throw line, has three-point range, and has some just absolutely dominant games. I just don't know how Joel Embiid is not in the top three if you had to start a team. But availability is a big deal, and when you're missing, you know, as many games as he misses a year, it's a potential problem. By the way, is there a bigger hater right now? I'm watching all these different clips of Patrick Beverley. This is Patrick Beverley's third straight day on all of the ESPN shows. So it's called a car wash. So the car wash.
Yeah, but a car wash is just usually one day.
The car wash is when you come in a day and you do all the shows. I've been involved in them where I've been on three shows when I come in town. And it's the easy way for a network to take care of multiple show content, content for multiple shows with a single person. Patrick Beverley he's got a car wash week right now. But RJ, pull up Patrick Beverley's comments on Chris Paul. Pat Beverley truly is a villain. Like, I still like Patrick Beverley. There's a part of me that still likes him from when he was a Rocket. I do think Pat Beverley is dirty. We do know the time that he pushed Chris Paul down. Like, his hatred for Chris Paul goes back, way back. You're about to find out. It goes back to youth basketball. But Patrick Beverley is truly, he's not just a troll. I think he truly has some supervillain tendencies.
Here it is.
I really believe that. And here's Pat Beverley talking. He was with Stephen A. Smith on his podcasting video cast, and he was talking about Chris Paul.
I appreciate everything he's done for the game. Me and CP, this started when I was in high school, out of college.
Okay.
I went to LeBron James camp. And, you know, Steph Curry's my roommate. You have this certain team that plays the LeBron James, the Chris Pauls, the O.J. Mayo, whoever, Darnell Jackson, whoever it was at the time. In front of a bunch of scouts. And I got a taste of a little CP there.
Okay. And what was that taste?
Destroyed him.
Destroyed
LeBron.
Him?
Ask LeBron. I don't have to lie. I'm not like, ask Chris. That's your good friend. You know? So it's always been something from there. I respect his game. I love CP's game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I love what he do. I love back in the day, he destroyed Tony Parker and, you know, all that type of stuff in New Orleans. But the praise that he gets and the slander that he doesn't get when he doesn't perform, it's not the same as it is with every other superstar. And my question is, why not?
does he get slander like everybody else?
I feel like he does, but maybe not. I mean, Pat Beverly's in it. We're not in it. Maybe Pat feels like he gets a pass. Now,
I don't
he
know. Went Do on players the... around the league love and cherish Chris Paul?
No,
and so.
He's not one of them necessarily. Now, what Pat Beverley brought up was the fact that Chris Paul was former president of the Players Association.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to kill him when he is because he's fighting for you. He's a family man. He doesn't have – he's not a wild, boisterous guy on the court necessarily. The point he made
is – Oh, he says words on the court.
Yeah, but the point he made was it's not easy from an optic standpoint to just kill Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Like, Chris doesn't come off as a guy who's easy to kill because he's not doing things the right way or whatever the case may be. But does he not take enough heat?
Apparently, I don't know. Maybe that's an NBA player's perspective of it. I think he takes plenty of heat. I think we know what Chris Paul is in elimination games. I mean, it was brought up on the broadcast when he lost.
He's one of LeBron's guys.
Yeah.
Like Chris Paul.
He's on a banana boat.
Yeah. No, Chris Paul with, Chris Paul, Carmelo. I mean, Chris Paul's inside. He does, like James Harden, I don't think has a lot of buddies in the league where he hangs out with them. I've talked to people who know James pretty well who said James hangs out with his own set of guys from LA and now Houston and wherever else, like Lil Baby. Like, James has his own people that he hangs out with. James doesn't really fit into the mold of the NBA guys necessarily who hang out together or are real close with each other. I do remember seeing, like, when I went to Daryl Morey's musical that he wrote, the three guys that came together were, it was Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, and Trevor Ariza. They all came to the musical. James didn't come to opening night. Michael, what's his name from Moneyball? Michael Lewis was there also, I think. But those three Rockets came to the grand opening of Daryl's musical he wrote. And so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Chris does get along with some guys on the court. But I think Chris can be hard to deal with because he's such a perfectionist and he wants things a certain way. And he is a family guy and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't know if he doesn't take the heat. I just know that Patrick Beverley, if you don't like Patrick Beverley, you're really going to be out of luck because he's going to be on TV a lot. He is exactly what ESPN wants.
Yes.
Somebody to say crazy things. Stuff, mm-hmm. Be mad, say wild things that go viral. Patrick Beverley, when he's done playing, is it also weird to hear guys talk about being at LeBron James's basketball camp? Like, Pat Beverly's not young. How old is Patrick Beverley? Pat Beverley is, when I was in high school, I was at LeBron James's basketball camp. I'm like, how old was LeBron? 23? Pat Beverly's 33 years old. LeBron's 37. How weird is that? A 33-year-old was at a 37-year-old's basketball camp when he was in high school. LeBron had to have LeBron must have been 20 when Pat Beverley was at his camp. 21? How old was he?
Yeah, right around then, because he was in high school, so he would have been 16, 17, whatever. Maybe he was just in, maybe 13, 14 in high school.
How old is Chris Paul? Chris Paul's 37. Chris Paul is, was Chris in the same draft as LeBron? He wasn't. Was it the year after or before?
Wait a minute. How is Chris Paul in LeBron's camp?
Was he maybe he was a camper? Maybe he was one of the counselors?
Maybe.
He may have been one of the counselors for LeBron. Because they're buddies.
Yeah,
they're both 37 years old.
They have to fact check Pat Beverley, because it just sounds, the whole thing sounds too made up.
Destroyed him.
I destroyed him.
Destroyed him. Oh, no, he wants you to fact check it. He said, go ask LeBron, go ask CP3. That's your good buddy. It's just, you know, Chris Paul, you're good, Freddy. You're good friend. You're good buddy, Stephen A.
Oh, I thought he said LeBron. That's your good buddy. Go ask LeBron.
Oh, he was talking about, no. He's talking about Chris Paul is Stephen A's good buddy.
Anyway.
Maybe he did mean LeBron.
I think he did. Because he said, I was at LeBron's camp. That's your good buddy. Go ask him. Anyway, so 713-780-3776. Huge news. Rockets get the third overall pick. Astros, 5 home runs in the second, tying a major league record for most home runs. And only the second time it's happened on the road in major league history. 5 home runs in one inning. And then the playoff game last night was fantastic. So, the game wasn't all that great, but Jimmy Butler was fantastic anyway. And Dell's happy. That's all I care about. As long as Dell is happy, I'm happy for you know what? That makes me happy.
No,
that's a happy day for me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, 757 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We've got some reminiscing to do on the other side right here. So don't you go anywhere. In the meantime, let's talk a little insurance.
TGS Insurance says, make sure that the one thing you have to do on a regular basis is make sure that you are getting the best rates for your homeowner's insurance. Now, it comes up once a year, so that's understandable. One day a year you have, or one time a year you have to switch homeowner's insurance, or it rolls over into your next, you know, and you got the homeowners going. If you don't have a homeowner's insurance that is first of all, A-rated, that will take care of you if there's a tornado, a hurricane, a flood, you know, the things we deal with here in Houston, that's a problem. You need to have A-rated insurance. But you don't have to overpay for it. You don't have to have somebody gouging you. You want somebody who's going to put together a competitive price. You want multiple companies competing for your business. And that's why TGS Insurance is so good. They aggregate multiple A-rated insurance companies, and then they give you access to it when you text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323, and within 15 seconds, you will begin to or you will get a text back that shows you a quote, a firm quote on what your homeowner's insurance will cost you versus what you're paying right now. There's no reason not to shop multiple companies in 15 seconds. And they make it easy when you text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5.